We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking with our city officials today, Ron Fear, City Manager, and Commissioner Yusha Reddy. And Yusha, I think, wanted to highlight a couple things on consent.
Sure. Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that on the hydraulic dredging portion at Annenberg, FEMA is taking care of a great majority of that. They're taking care of 75%. State is 10%, and the city is picking up 15%. And I believe our 15% is $175,000. Is that right, Ron? Or is that all of it?
That's all of it. Okay. So we our share is about $25,000, and that's programmed to come out of the special park and recreation fund.
Right. And for the Eli addition, the sanitary sewer system part of it, that's all of the benefit district. So the city portion is zero.
There's a little bit of oversizing on one water line that we're participating in.
And then, of course, for the St. Frost School, Ron had mentioned that that's coming from the sales tax that the public had passed a couple of years ago. So just want to let the public know where the source of funding is coming for each of those initiatives.
All right. A Safe Routes to School program seems like a good program. There's a lot of improvements that have been made across the whole city for those different schools. So
yeah, it's really good. It's good for the cities and the families that use those roads or sidewalks all the time.
Yeah. We were talking here during the break, Ron, about the a survey that just wrapped up here for the community housing needs.
Right. Last fall, the city launched an update to its housing study. Actually, it hasn't done a housing study since the early 2000s. So you might recall that a piece of the sales tax, new sales tax that'll take effect next year in 23, that was the voters approved in the fall of 20, was our economic development sales tax that had been in conjunction with Riley County is now a citywide. So it will be a citywide sales tax of a half cent. And that's going for some of the similar uses, so traditional economic development, infrastructure, and debt service, and then a new component on there, about 10% of the funds were going to be used for workforce housing. And so as part of that, there was discussion about, do we need to create a housing board to help inform or recommend to the commission how some of those funds should be spent in the future. And so, but first off, the really needed to do a comprehensive analysis of the housing circumstances and situation here. So the survey was just kind of asking questions about opinions of people's housing, whether ownership, rental, conditions, all of that sort of thing, and availability in the community. And that's the first step. And then those kind of results and kind of the analysis will be presented to the City Commission at their work session next week. They're also meeting with the Planning Board, and then the steering committee that's been formed to help guide the study is also meeting on Tuesday of next week. And so that information will be out there. Some of the preliminary results of that should be on the webpage very soon. And so a lot of information there. If they just go housing study on the city's website, that'll take you to a page that talks about some of the different effects. Several different kind of engagement programs this spring. I think they're looking at some type of housing summit in the spring, and then also some focus groups and individual aspects as they develop ultimately some recommendations that'll come late summer, early fall for the commission, and on some recommendations about how do we help workforce housing going forward, and especially how do we utilize the funds, which will total about $6.5 million over the course of that 10-year period. So those are some of the components, and so encourage folks to stay tuned to that and follow that and get involved in that particular process, and certainly appreciate that aspect. Obviously, housing has become a big issue as far as it's always been a challenge for us from, different affordability aspects, but just the lack of housing now, at least for ownership and sale and price, has jumped considerably. There is some surplus rent, but the prices don't necessarily show that. So those are all issues that we do have a fair amount of subsidized housing, whether it's the Manhattan Housing Authority. We have the Community Housing Cooperative. We have several that have tax credit housings where you pay rent based on income, and those are privately operated with tax credits. But So it'll examine all of those particular issues and really kind of try and identify, what is workforce housing? And it's probably different depending on where you are in the workforce. It's an issue that is something that's constantly talked about, and we look forward to having a lot of discussion throughout the course of the year as this study advances.
Yeah, I think, the state also did a housing study, and that is something I think we will also take a closer look at, because it's not just a City of Manhattan issue, and it's not only the state of Kansas either. Nationally, we are seeing workforce housing and just housing in general, how it's gone so expensive. Houses here are on the market for a day or less than a day, and they're being sold. So that also drives up all of our property valuations and our taxes because they're going so quickly. But then again, there's a whole percentage of population that can't afford housing because the market rates are so high right now. And I think that's something we want to look at and also provide safe housing for them. So what we don't want to do is have housing that's inferior but cheaper. We want to make sure it's safe housing that's affordable to our workforce, our young folks, and anybody else that wants to live in the City of Manhattan. I think that's going to be a good conversation, and certainly I'm looking forward to seeing what the results are of the survey, but also looking at what the state has done with their study as well.
How much can cities really help? I mean, can you guys get in the business of fixing up houses and trying to resell them to potential businesses that may come to our community, or how's that work?
So there's not there's fairly limited access. So most of the programs I'm familiar with that cities have formed some land bank kind of components where they encourage folks to, and they may actually, Lawrence has a land bank, I know, that program that's fairly limited and has requirements for. It's not unlike some of the other programs that are out there, but most of it comes in forms of types of credits that can be given to if you're going to convert an older home into a owner-occupied house versus a rental. Those are all policies that will need to be administered, and so a lot of there's a kind of a rebate program so that if you increase the value of that home by renovating it, you get some of that refunded instead of the increased taxes go up because of the value, so you get some of that refunded to you over time. Those are more of the familiar programs. You should mention the state housing study. One of the things it showed is that, that for the most part, the age of housing in Kansas is very old, except for growing cities where you have had most of the construction that have occurred in the larger cities, which is, and I think we were pretty high. I think Lawrence was pretty high because there has been a lot of new housing as those communities have grown. So there's a lot of issues there, different aspects of things. And I think the key is really trying to identify what are the greatest needs and then what are some programs that can be developed to help better those needs and meet those needs.
Even neighborhood revitalization housing studies have been out there, and I think we discussed some of those possibilities even at our city commission retreat. So I think all options are on the table, and to see what kind of developers are interested in some of these measures, and to make sure, again, it's safe and it's affordable for a lot of our folks that want to live in Manhattan or move here.
Yeah. Well, it certainly is a challenge, and I know growth's always a challenge as well. Where you put new housing at too? Kind of landlocked here. We don't have the benefits that Lawrence has, where you can just kind of grow, kind of sprawl out there a little bit. But well, that's certainly be interesting to watch here next week. I know there's some other things going on in the community. We've seen some cones pop up here around my neighborhood. Some utility work's going on around Browning and Dickens.
There are. I know they're doing some waterline repairs and relocations, upsizing and tying into some other existing ones, and I think they're relocating some storm sewer inlets as part of some of the other infrastructure improvements that have gone on with some of the sidewalk improvements in that particular area. And then we're about to make things a little more inconvenient for folks next week. I think you've heard me talk a little bit before. Of course, our North Campus Corridor projects, we've got two projects that have underway out there. The section of Kimball between North Manhattan and Denison has been closed for some time, and work is proceeding well. The weather's ultimately, it's been pretty good, and things are proceeding well. Originally, there's a section to improve about the middle section of Kimball between Denison and College. There's a one lane for westbound that's already closed off. The contractor proposed a schedule that instead of trying him to work around them to try and work around two lanes of traffic with their workforce of closing that section, and they felt like if they were able to do that here in March, then they could be complete by the end of July, so before football and everything starts next year or this next school year. So we talked to all of the folks along that corridor, and everybody was in agreement because most folks have already rerouted because of the other closure anyway. So they felt like that was probably a good opportunity. So starting Monday, we are planning to close Kimball basically from the Grain Science entrance on the east to the West Stadium entrance on the west. That'll be closed to through traffic, and folks will have to reroute either Denison to Marlette to College is the typical one. And I know that's going to increase traffic on Marlette and probably on some of those unofficial detours like Claflin and other places, depending on where you're trying to go. So, but hopefully, usually things slow down a little bit in summer with the number of vehicles per day. They can get that completed and get that all back open again and for the major part of it. So
I think the only immediate hiccup I see with this is maybe state basketball next week. That may impact that a little.
Yeah, and they're going to try and work through that. Of course, the K-State's got some major construction going on with the indoor facility and the east parking lot, and then the different aspects of the new Olympic Training Center and volleyball venue that's on the other side. So they'll likely have to come from – we're hopefully getting the detour signs up so folks can learn that.
All right. Well, it's progress. That's what it is, and we'll continue to see that happening. The North Campus corridor is starting to look a lot better, I will say. It's we can't see some of the progress over there by NBAF yet, but I'm sure that's coming together well.
It is. So that'll be that design work is scheduled to start this year, and that's anticipated to be a project for next summer. And we're hoping with a lot of the infrastructure grant programs that are out there, we'll be able to get some other assistance to help with that.
All right. City Commission again meets at 7 o'clock tonight at Manhattan City Hall. Thanks to Ron Fear, Yusha Reddy for being here. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks, Brandon. Thank you, Brandon. Thanks for having us.
Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk with USD 3-3 officials. We'll also hear from the Manhattan Fire Department and Downtown Manhattan Incorporated as well.